Rockauto.com.
Are you ready? No. You don't understand. I want to know. Are you ready?
For the thousands in attendance and for the millions not watching around the world, none of this is on television right now.
Let's get ready to suck it!
War Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Come hell or high water, I am giving you Monday Night Raw. I am giving you a show tonight.
Featuring the likes of Sue Rockin.
Hi, Tom.
Lindsay Ward.
All of you men are simply intimidated. But most of all, men are intimidated by the fact that I have bigger balls than every man in this arena.
Interact with us live during the show and give us your takes on what your thoughts on Monday Night Raw.
I have received an email. The Raw General Manager says, and I quote,
now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Jane has got two words for you.
Welcome to another edition of Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Presented as always by PW Mania and MemLanePromo.com. And for tonight, presented by ProWrestlingTees.com. Go there right now. Go to ProWrestlingTees.com/RackRadioShow and buy the official t-shirt of the Rack, which you can hear every Thursday night live right here on WildTalkRadio.com at 11 p.m. Eastern. I am just a producer, Sir Rockin. And joining me as always, Lindsay Wood.
Hello!
That was a mouthful to get out. Pointing.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you feel better that you spit all that out?
Yes, I do. Anyway, we open up Monday Night Raw tonight with, did I hear right, they introduced them as the owner and COO of WWE?
I think you did, yeah. I was a little confused by that, too. I'm not going to lie. It was, wait, what?
And they were ready to address the crowd, and you also had 10 men standing on the on the stage. Well, things took place.
Let me just clarify right now. We have asked all of you to be here. Stand on that stage for one simple reason tonight. And that is to say,
thank you. Thank you for taking matters into your own hands. Thank you for stepping up to the plate. Thank you for shining and grabbing that brass ring. And thank you for finally being men.
That's right. Thank you for finally stepping up. I know it had absolutely nothing to do with Daniel Bryan and the fact that Daniel Bryan was in this ring.
Come on, dude. The fact is, and I think I speak for everybody up here, we were fighting for Daniel Bryan. You screwed him over. You would do the same to us. We were only fighting for what's right.
I find it hard to believe that all of you were fighting for Daniel Bryan. I've never known a WWE superstar that fought for a WWE champion. I always thought WWE superstars fought to be a WWE champion. Let me ask you, Dolph, is that how you feel? So let me get this straight. You were out here fighting for Daniel Bryan, who's had opportunity after opportunity that he has squandered at the WWE Championship. You were out here to fight for him, not to fight for you. So you're saying Daniel Bryan should get another opportunity at Battleground, an opportunity that, say, maybe Dolph Ziggler should have had at Battleground.
Or R-Truth. I mean, when's the last time you've had a championship match? I know I can't remember. Why shouldn't you be the face of the WWE? Or you, Zack Ryder. Woo-woo, you should be the face of the WWE. Well, I'll tell you what, there is one reason why you collectively do not have that championship opportunity as we speak this moment. And that reason is...
The Shield. I understand your frustration, guys, because the Shield has run roughshod on this place since the day they walked in the door. They have collectively beaten down each and every one of you on that stage. Last week's show of unity had to do with frustration with the Shield. And I'm going to give you the opportunity to take that frustration out tonight. I am going to give all of you, Darren Young, Titus O'Neil, The Usos, Rob Van Dam, Dolph Ziggler, Kofi Kingston, Zack Ryder, R-Truth, Justin Gabriel. All of you are going to get the opportunity to take that frustration out tonight when you compete in an elimination handicap match against the Shield. And I'm going to give you a partner. Hopefully a partner that will fight for you as hard as you supposedly fight for him. Your partner will be a gentleman that gets yet another shot at the WWE Championship at Battleground. A man that feels he should be WWE Champion because, quite frankly, he feels he's better than all of you. Your partner tonight will be Daniel Bryan.
But that's not all. We wanted to say thank you to those men on this stage, but we also wanted to say thank you to the WWE Universe. So here's what we're going to do tonight. All of you will have the opportunity to choose who will face Randy Orton right here in this ring tonight. Will it be R-Truth, Dolph Ziggler, or Rob Van Dam? All you have to do is open up your smartphone and download the WWE app. That's the exclusive place where you can vote. Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Thank you.
Very interesting way to open up Monday Night Raw, I must say.
The Shield's faces. Oh my God, where they're like, wait, what?
What just happened? We're in a match against 11 guys. We're supposed to be your henchmen?
Yeah, it's like everybody, like, we all kind of sat here for a minute. We went,
huh?
Especially after, you know, it's like they almost did this exact same thing, except it was a gauntlet match on SmackDown, where the Shield had to face, like, 11 guys, and they called it off after, what, 5? Because the Shield was dead.
Something like that. It was a nice twist where they turned things around on Daniel Bryan, and, you know, it was interesting. It was a different twist on things.
Exactly. It's like, well, you know, it's basically they know a rebellion's in the air. you know, it's, we've had enough. We're going to basically stop you from doing what you're doing. And Hunter and Stephanie are proving that, well, maybe they're just a little bit smarter than the rest of the roster.
Just a bit, because, you know, they are the CEO, COO and owner of WWE.
Yeah, so this was kind of sort of a head-scratcher, you know. I know LeMans was confused, and we were all a little confused, but it's like, well, there's going to be a plan.
You would assume there's a plan.
You would hope to God there's a plan.
Especially if you're in a Shield, you hope there's a plan.
And they're almost, you almost wish that there had been a backstage segment with the Shield and Hunter and Steph, where they're like, what the heck? And either you have Hunter and Steph say, well, you know, we need you guys to prove yourselves. We need to, you know, really see that you, you know, you're deserving of this, kind of like they did with Orton. Or just, you know, basically, don't worry about it, guys. We got it.
We got this.
Yeah, we got this. Don't worry about this. So, you know, it's just, it's kind of one of those things that you didn't get that, so it kind of makes you wonder, well, are Hunter and Steph turning against the Shield, and are the Shield maybe going to turn against Hunter and Steph?
Hmm. We shall have to see. We have breaking news, Lindsay.
We have breaking news?
We have breaking news. Fandango beat the Buzzards.
Fandango beat the Buzzards?
In fantasy football.
Oh, congratulations.
Up next in our opening contest of the evening is Alberto Del Rio taking on Kofi Kingston. Fine
again,
match.
Kofi, black, in that specific area. No! That's a no! Hi, Bray.
Alright, one thing. The majority of the matchup, Del Rio worked over the arm of Kofi Kingston. Alright, now Kofi, we know your move is boom, boom, boom to do your taunt before you do your kick. Well, if you have an injured arm, I think it's okay just this one time. Just this one time. That you don't do your little boom, boom, boom when your arm is injured and you can barely lift it up. Just put it on out.
The boom heals everything?
That's what she said?
Here comes the boom? I don't know.
I don't know, but this was a pretty good matchup. They focused on the arm, and, well, Del Rio wins via submission as he injured Kofi Kingston.
Which kind of led us to believe that, huh? Huh. I wonder if all the Rebels are going to have matches tonight. And sure enough, well, they pretty much all did.
Some of them did, at the very least. We go backstage. Renee Young is talking with Miz, who was, you know, a little battered and bruised from last week before he could actually speak. Triple H shows up, says, Hunter said he can't let the Miz be near Randy anywhere tonight, nor can he let him compete considering his physical condition. He mocked that, you know, he's sore and his ribs might hurt, that sort of thing. So Triple H talked about how tonight there will be Miz TV because he is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time. And his guest will be The Big Show.
Which, you know what's coming.
Mm-hmm. They showed some highlights from the last few weeks with the Rhodes family being fired and Cody Rhodes Goldust losing to Randy Orton and Dusty Rhodes being knocked out by The Big Show. Then Lindsay, they're here.
Yay!
We went to break as the Wyatt sat, or Bray sat in his chair, blew out his lantern, we went to break, and when we came back, it was the Wyatts versus the Primetime Players.
In a very solid match. At least Rowan and Harper are getting better. They're getting better opponents to sort of sell for them. Mm-hmm. So they look much more dominant and much more devastating in the ring than when they were with, like, tons of funk. But the one thing that worried me about this match was how absolutely dead silent the crowd was.
Yeah, they weren't totally into this match.
I mean, I think Bray is over. Because when they came out, they got a huge ovation, people were clapping to the song. So I'm not sure if the entrance is over, if it's Bray that's over, because there were some people chanting in the crowd that they wanted Bray, or what part of them is over. But it's like, at least for Rowan and Harper, they're just, everybody like just can't even be bothered, which isn't a good sign, because they're a package deal.
But you could also say, is it the Wyatts, or is it the primetime players?
I don't know. That's the thing, like, I really don't know. Because, like, things started to pick up a little bit towards the end of the match, but for the most part, the crowd was, like, really silent. Actually, I can tell you when it picked up is when Bray got in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
When Bray got in the ring, that's when the crowd came back. So I think it's Rowan and Harper. They're not exposed enough, probably, and they don't talk. They just sort of are behind Bray. And Bray's obviously the face, so he's the one everybody wants to see.
Correct. The Wyatt family wins with a clothesline from the Backwoods, because you can't say hell, because, well, that's JBL's move.
It's still a vicious, vicious move.
Mm-hmm. Following the match, you know, Bray Wyatt laying him out with Sister Abigail, and it was follow the Buzzards.
And we got to see Bray run, which is something you don't really get to see a lot of.
No, you don't. So, that's that. We come back from break, and it's time for Miz TV. The Miz is in the ring talking how he's banged up and really pissed off, and he's not over the top like he was. He was embarrassed by his friends and family. And he tells Randy Orton this is not over by a long shot, and payback will come, and it will be awesome. And then he brought out his guest for the evening, the 7-foot giant, The Big Show.
Show, I've known you for nearly a decade. We've been tag team champions together. We've been on other side of the rings together where we ripped one another's head off as competitors. And I respect you as a man. And as a man, I want to ask you, how could you do that to Dusty Rhodes? How could you do that to a living legend? Man who was a mentor to you. Man who was like a father figure to you. How could you do that? Look, I get that you have personal issues and I sympathize. I get that Stephanie McMahon and Triple H are taking advantage of those issues. We all know that if you didn't do that to Dusty Rhodes, then Triple H and Stephanie McMahon, well, they would have sicked the hound as a hell onto Dusty Rhodes, beat him down to a bloody pulp. But don't you see what they're doing, Show? Don't you see what they're doing? They're trying to break you. They're trying to break you because you're the largest guy in the locker room. And you have the utmost respect from all the WWE superstars. And if they break you, they can break everybody. At least that's what they think. But now, Show, the WWE superstars are starting to step up, and it's time for you, Big Show, to step up. Stop letting that castrating witch demean and demoralize you. Stand up and look her in the eye and say...
Let me just say that the reason you are out here doing this to the Big Show right now is because you're living on your own cul-de-sac of disappointment. Quite frankly, you understand your own inadequacies, Miz. Given the fact that you suffered a beating at the hands of Randy Orton in this ring last week that was absolutely humiliating, you know you're not a major player, Miz. And there's nothing worse than a superstar who peaks too early. But I will say this, you do have value. You're what we call a utility player. When there's a radio show that needs an appearance early in the morning, we call the Miz. When we need someone to do an appearance in some far-off corner of the world, well, you're the guy that we call. And when there is a local supermarket that's opening that needs that extra special promotion, well, Miz, you are our guy. And it's not that we haven't given you opportunities or chances. I mean, last week the stakes couldn't have been higher. We were in your hometown. I watched your mom. I watched the look in her eye go from hope to absolute disappointment because you failed her. You failed your family. You failed your friends. And most importantly, Miz, you failed yourself. Randy Orton dismembered you in this ring. And once again, you just couldn't measure up. And yet, you never learn your lesson, because here you are. Well, I'm sorry to have to do this to you, Miz. Big Show? Knock him out!
What? Look out!
So, unlike other ones, there was no tearful, drawn-out, will I or won't I. It is The Miz, after all. But a punch knocked out The Miz.
Which kind of leads to the end of the interesting question, is Show accepting his role as Stephanie McMahon's hitman?
I think so.
I mean, is he even resentful a little bit that people aren't helping him? Like, people aren't saying, oh, Show, you know, well, we can totally get, you know, help you out. Here's a little extra cash. It's kind of one of those things that he's sort of he's all alone and nobody's defending him like they're defending Daniel Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he's kind of in the same situation as Daniel Bryan. He's still getting bent over by the McMahons, but nobody's helping him. So I think Show is possibly, accepting this role, understanding this role, and maybe even relishing a little bit. But then again, Miz, no offense to the Miz, is not Dusty Rhodes.
He's not Daniel Bryan, nor is he Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, just because you know the guy doesn't mean you're friends with the guy. But that being said, this was a fantastic segment between the Miz and Stephanie McMahon.
Oh, she ripped him a new one.
Yeah, she got her claws into him and she just took a bite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she really, really did. So we move on after that very interesting segment of Ms. TV to a match. Randy Orton takes on the person that you, yes, you out there, if you have that fancy app thing, chose. Jerry Lawler stood up to reveal that 57% of the WWE Universe has chosen Rob Van Dam to fight WWE Champion Randy Orton. Oops. Sorry, King.
Why? What did he think it was?
He said WWE Champion Randy Orton.
Oh, oops. No.
Oops. These two had a pretty good match.
They did. They really did. It was a great back and forth between the two.
These two men went at it, and then they got counted out, and then Randy Orton went to town. He ripped the padding off the guardrail, dropped on across the exposed metal, smashed Van Dam into the ring steps. He pounded his forehead with blows left and right. fans were chanting for Rob Van Dam, threw him into the announce table, into the chairs, dragged Van Dam back into the ring, put him on the top turnbuckle, and hit that high-impact DDT and left him laying.
Yep.
That was a beatdown.
It was. It really was. And it's like, just damn. I mean, damn.
So, okay, let's figure this out. Kofi's been hurt. The primetime players got Wyatt. And Van Dam, well, got destroyed.
With a little extra assist from Del Rio.
Yes, during the break on the WWE app, Del Rio attacked Rob Van Dam. I enjoyed the beatdown.
I thought it was great. It's just, it's, you're doing a really nice setup for Del Rio and RVD, where basically our, you know, Del Rio is coming in to pick the bones, as it were. Somebody else is taking out his opponent, and, well, he just feels the need to put, you know, get that extra kick in just because, well, he can.
Right.
They did a nice job throughout the show. Basically, the entire show was the setup for the main event, which it really kind of should be in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Because they built to the main event because you start to see maybe this plan in action of, well, yeah, we're going to give all 11 of you the Shield. We're going to let you beat down the Shield, except, oh, you've got to go through, you know, Del Rio, the Wyatts, Randy Orton, and so on first before
right.
you get the Shield. And so it's like it's starting to look more and more and more in the Shield's favor,
mm-hmm.
especially as the beatdowns get seemingly worse as the show progresses.
That's a very good point. We have backstage, the Bellas are warming up for action. They'll be in action, 10 Diva action later on tonight, which we'll get into in a bit. Randy Orton then walked up and walked up to Brie Bella and, you know, asked if they saw what he did out there. Brie Bella said she was too busy not caring. Orton told Brie to drop her boyfriend Daniel Bryan and go out with a real man, because, you know, that's what Randy Orton is. Brie said she already has a real man, and which Orton started to laugh. Orton says Brie's goat-faced boyfriend will never, ever be a real man. And they should exchange some more lines back and forth before Randy Orton left. That was an interesting segment.
To which I say, mole!
Not the mole. We then get a...
What did we say last week on this show? Gee... Wouldn't it be interesting if Randy Orton approached Brie Bella? Not that you know, that isn't a completely logical conclusion, but still.
Then they must have listened to this show.
Molly, 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 moll.
Not the mole. Anyway, we get a clip from the new WWE DVD for Triple H where they show actual footage of the wedding.
And I saw Mark Calloway as a groomsman.
See, I didn't notice that, but I saw Sean. I didn't see Mark.
But I saw Sean and I saw Mark, so I may have to watch this DVD.
Yeah, I think it's going to be something to see, that's for very damn sure.
By the way, Linda McMahon, not that you will ever hear this, but I applaud your fashion choice. Not many people can pull off a stole that well. She did it perfectly. Well done.
And this clip led to a very interesting interaction.
Oh, hello, AJ.
Hi.
Look, I know you wanted to see me, but before you talk about whatever it is you need to talk about, I know you haven't always been so lucky in love. So I was just watching the footage of my wedding, and I thought that, well, you might like to see what a real wedding looks like. Anytime you want.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for this.
So, your dime?
I just want to talk to you about this ridiculous tag team match you have me in against the Total Divas. I mean, can't they just go on a hiatus along with their stupid reality show? Just go away for like a minute. I mean, and not to mention the fact that my own tag partners could turn against me at any moment. Pretty sure they hate me. I mean, this is no way to be treating your Divas champion.
Oh.
Come, boss lady, you're kind of all up in my personal space.
AJ, this company is my personal space. Now, you will compete in that 10 Diva Tag Team match. Or maybe, AJ, you won't be Diva's champion for much longer.
I have a match to get ready for.
I would have popped if she said, "You're all up in my Kool-Aid."
I know. But, yeah. That, to which, you know, it's kind of the way that they're playing this, you know, where they have Stefan Hunter, it's like AJ's a heel. At least we think she's a heel, but nobody out-heels a McMahon.
Well, of course.
Especially Stephanie, so it's like, okay, interesting.
I just love their interactions, boss lady.
Yeah, you know AJ was like,
mm-hmm.
On the inside.
And when they showed her on the screen, the crowd went, yay, it's AJ.
Yep.
Up next, it's Fandango against Santino.
Didn't somebody just interview that guy?
I believe that would be you.
Oh yeah, that's right. We did, didn't we?
Yeah, we...
Last Thursday, on the Rack, tuned into the archive to listen.
You can listen at WildTalkRadio.com and RackRadioShow.com. Shameless show, the interview. Out of the way, it's Santino and Fandango. Match was fine. It's very entertaining. I liked Santino dancing, mocking Fandango. Santino then, at one point before the finish, whipped his snake around for some array.
The Cobra likes pretty girls.
The Cobra does like pretty girls. Fandango hit the top rope leg drop for the victory. Entertaining.
Solid match. Very entertaining.
And then it's been the moment everyone's been waiting for. The man's returned home. It's CM Punk. And the crowd went bananas.
It's Chicago. Of course they went bananas. It's their hometown boy.
Alright, this is my challenge to Chicago for the next time they're in WWE's there. Sing CM Punk's theme song. That's your next challenge. I think that would kind of be awesome.
That would be awesome.
So CM Punk, knee taped, ankle taped, came out and said, "You guys basically ruined my bad mood." He hasn't smiled in a week and a day, but he comes out here and he can't help himself. He said, "No, Chicago are the NHL champions." That's why he's wearing the jersey. And he tried to get the Stanley Cup there, but it was somewhere in Montreal being engraved. Punk says he's been letting people down as of late, and, you know, he wanted to seriously apologize for letting Paul Heyman pin him at Night of Champions. And he's been bummed, and, you know, that sort of thing. Punk said he's been thinking about maybe he doesn't know if he could do this anymore. He's not sure if he can perform in front of the greatest wrestling crowd in the world. You know, and then the man rolled up his sleeves and had something to say.
Is the Chicago way. Yeah, maybe we lose,
Yeah, maybe sometimes the other city gets the better of us. Sometimes we get beat up. But we pick ourselves up by our bootstraps and we go to work the next day. And I'm proud of this team. And I'm proud of this sweater. God damn it, I'm proud of you people. So if I have let you down, I apologize, but do not give up. If I am down 3-1, I'm going to come back and I'm going to tie this up. And I'm going to go into overtime and I'm going to win. Because that is the Chicago way. We fight. And I'm here live and in living color. Chicago, Illinois, I want to fight. And I don't care if it's Curtis Axel. I don't care if it's Ryback. I don't care if it's Paul Heyman.
Spreading the news. I'm going to be king of the hill. A number one. Best in the world.
All right, before we continue, holy crap, Paul Heyman. Him singing was tremendous. And how we go back to Paul Heyman, unless you want to comment now?
Well, it would help if my mic was plugged in.
Yeah, I was, waiting for that.
Sorry. And now, thanks to Paul Heyman and his awesomeness, every dog is deaf in Chicago. I love you, Paul Heyman. Please don't ever do that again.
Yeah.
But this whole promo before Heyman came out was absolutely fantastic, and I wish they had the entire thing online. Because it was such a great speech by CM Punk. Mm-hmm. An absolutely fantastic speech. And only CM Punk could work a hockey analogy into a wrestling promo. Only Punk could do that. And get away with it.
Only CM Punk could. And now we let Paul Heyman finish talking.
Ladies and gentlemen! And you, my prodigal son, my name is Paul Heyman.
Wrong place, wrong time. Your name is Paul Heyman, and you're about to catch a bigger beating than you did at Night of Champions, because we're not in Detroit. We're in Chicago. And I have 18,000 people that are going to bail my ass out of jail when I get my hands on you.
I don't need for you to remind me of the beating that I took in Detroit. I have been in physical therapy since Night of Champions. And I suffered a relapse, which has me confined to this contraption because of you.
Yeah, we should probably point out
me, but ha ha on you, because I take solid.
Sorry. We should probably point out, Paul Heyman came out in a Jazzy. He got Laurinaitis' scooter.
Yes, he was in the scooter, yes. And now we continue.
In the fact that I can walk through life saying, I beat CM Punk. And I don't want you to feel sorry for yourself about it. You shouldn't. It's not your fault. It's geography. You're from Chicago. The second city.
second place teams, second rate citizens, second class parents to which you can attest, and Les Bates backs the second best in the world.
When I jump out of this ring and make a move to you, can your two goons get to me faster than I can get to you? That's the question you have to ask yourself, because if and when I get to you, even if it's just 2 seconds before they do, 2 seconds is all I need. I'm no longer going to break your face. I'm going to rip your face off.
It won't work.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh's right. The battery's dead, and Paul Heyman's about to be.
And here comes Punk. And Punk's got himself some of Heyman in this right back. And Axel, just like Punk predicted.
And now the assault.
What a great setup of Paul Heyman. Brilliant by Paul Heyman.
And now it's
watch it, Axel! I'm telling you!
And Punk coming back!
And now Punk turned into the original lineman!
And the big man's down! And Punk's unloading!
And the place has exploded!
Punk said, when I'm down, get back up! And that's what he's doing here!
Well, he's getting right up, reeling!
Ryback's down!
Watch it! Axel again from behind.
And a big kick. Axel stunned. Oh. And Ryback blasting Punk.
The number's just too much for Punk.
Watch out, watch out. Here. Oh, coming. He went anyway. And Impact locked that entire light grid. Now look out!
Oof!
You are a fool. You are a fool.
And Rob,
what's he gonna do?
Is what happens to bullies.
So CM Punk was press slam awkwardly, we should say, through a table.
Yeah. Really, really awkwardly, and I hope Punk is okay after taking it, because yeah, he did not land anywhere close to in a pretty spot.
He needed about like 2 more feet and he would have been perfect. Or at least one foot more. This segment was fantastic. And the best spot of the promo, or the segment, was after Punk goes through the table, Ryback calls for Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman gets up out of the scooter, jumps off the ramp, and walks over to Ryback to hold the microphone.
Is it wrong that I would have popped if Paul Heyman skipped?
That would have been kind of cool.
But yeah, this whole block was easily segment of the night. I mean, easily. This was so incredibly well done. Punk's promo was beautiful. The interaction between Punk and Heyman, where the shots were taken, was great. And it's like, you knew Ryback and Axel were going to get Punk, and then, you know, the spot at the end with the table, despite the botch, was still well done. As far as to end that, because it's like, you know, Punk can't get Heyman. He can get close, but he can't get to Heyman. So what is it going to take for CM Punk to get Heyman?
That's a good question.
Because it's like, it seems no matter what happens, Paul Heyman always has that plan B. He either has a Ryback, he has a Brock Lesnar, he has a Curtis Axel, excuse me. He always has someone in his back pocket. So what is it going to take for Punk to get Heyman out of that back pocket? We're going to have to see.
We will indeed have to see. As we come back from break, tons of funk music is playing for the Funkadactyls. As we're getting set for the 10 Diva Tag Team match, we saw CM Punk being helped up and walking out on his own. So, let's figure this all out. We have the Team Total Divas of Natty, the Bellas, and the Funkadactyls with Eva Marie and JoJo at ringside.
Yeah, by the way, Eva Marie looked like a fire hydrant.
Yeah, she did. And Team AJ was AJ Lee, Alicia Fox, Layla, Exana?
I think so, yeah.
And Tamina?
Yeah, Tamina's back, folks!
Welcome back.
I had no idea she was back, but she's back.
And she was back. Anyway, this matchup was okay. Basically, Brie Bella pinned AJ Lee in the middle of the ring.
She did, yeah.
Puts Brie in that title picture now, don't it?
Yes, it does.
I think we got a three-way on our hands.
I think we do, too.
It's looking like we're going to get Natty, AJ, and Brie, which will then probably lead to, I would believe, a singles match between Natty and AJ.
Yeah, they're going to take their time with the singles match between Natty and AJ, which is totally fine. There's nothing wrong with that at all.
I agree. So, that happened there. We then go backstage to Shield, talked, Dean Ambrose, noting that they're being thrown to the wolves, or are they the hounds that chase the wolves and eat them alive, he said. Ambrose said, what's important is that this match is what's best for business. Rollins spoke that they always make the locker room stand up and take notice. Ambrose said that most importantly, they always win. Reigns said, believe it.
Yeah, they did not look happy at all. They really, really did not look happy. And so it's, you know, is the Shield going to turn on the corporation? We're just going to have to see. But this was a great promo. Because it's like, you know what, okay, fine. You know, you want to throw us to the locker room? Fine, we'll take care of ourselves. We don't need you. Screw you guys.
Screw you guys. I'm going home.
Yeah, screw you guys. I'm going home.
We then have the former WWE Daniel Bryan come to the ring. He thanked the crowd before noting that he has something to talk about. Last week, he was stripped of the WWE title because he was accused of conspiring with WWE official Scott Armstrong. Bryan described how ludicrous that conversation would be, you know. Hey, Scott, I want to go screw you. Can you, when I have a chance to win, will you count fast? Sort of, you know, whole thing. You know, you might not be the most intelligent human on the planet, but you don't need to fast count someone when he's already KO'd. Speaking of conspiracies, Hunter and Orton seem to be working together, and Hunter gave Scott Armstrong a pretty sweet deal on his way out. Bryan said he doesn't care about what happened tonight. Champions, though, because what's done is done, and he said that at Battleground in 2 weeks, he will take back what is his, the WWE title. Bryan said it's no fast counts, no special refs, and no more hiding for Orton. Ryan said when Orton wakes up from the beating he gets, he is going to hear one word etched over and over in the back of his brain, and it's going to haunt him for the rest of his miserable life. And that one word is yes.
Great promo by Brian. Great promo.
Great promo by Daniel Bryan. And then we hear the Shield's music. So we're ready to go. The Shield's on their way to the ring. They hop over the barricade and... Oh, wait. That's Goldust. That's Cody Rhodes. They jump the Shield.
That's a bad puppy.
The Rhodes brothers jumped the Shield, beating them up before being dragged away from security. Nice surprise there.
Yeah, you didn't see it coming. And if you did, well, you're smarter than we are, and we bow to your superior intelligence. But yeah, that was a fantastic surprise, because like, literally, out of nowhere, there's Goldust and Cody Rhodes.
And now when you think about it, they showed footage from the last couple weeks, so it should have been in the back of your mind that they could be coming, but I didn't think of it. And then out of nowhere, something for real out of nowhere actually happened on Raw.
Well, think about it. When was the last time they had somebody get jumped from the crowd?
It's been a while.
Yeah, so it's like you don't... If somebody's coming, they're going to interfere in the match. Which, you know, basically they did, but it's... You don't expect anybody to come through the crowd and attack through the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the thing. So it's... You know, to basically... beat the Shield at their own game as they're coming through the crowd where they're not necessarily expecting to get jumped. And what have we said pretty much the entire time the Shield has been coming through the crowd is you're just waiting for somebody to do that to them. Because it's really the perfect opportunity to get them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not necessarily expecting it. You know, they would expect to get jumped in the ring. They would expect to get jumped at ringside, but not when they're in the crowd, just because the crowd is not necessarily an area that's in play in the show. So it was a really nice touch that they had Cody and Goldust dress up in plain clothes, even though Goldust had his makeup on.
He was wearing a hood, so no one saw him.
Yeah, he's wearing a hood, so nobody really saw him, but it's like they just sort of, you know, looked like the crowd. They blended into the crowd. I mean, if you saw Goldust in the hoodie, you'd just think it's a guy, you know, with the Goldust makeup on.
Exactly.
So it's literally, you know, they could have probably sat there, at least Goldust could have sat there the whole damn show and nobody would have noticed. Cody's a little bit more difficult, but still, that was fantastic. You have them either buy a ticket to get into the show, or some, you know, somebody on the crew or somebody in the locker room gets them in so they can get the Shield. And that's going to be what's the next step in this is how did they get in the building? Who let them in? Or did they buy a ticket?
We will have to wait and see. So the Shield regroups and it's time for our 11-on-3 handicap match. You have Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, and Roman Reigns, the Shield taking on the WWE superstars of Daniel Bryan, Rob Van Dam, Dolph Ziggler, R-Truth, the Usos, the Primetime Players, Justin Gabriel, Kofi Kingston, and Zack Ryder.
Zack Ryder's in the main event.
Soak that in, folks. Soak it in. RVD first eliminated. Kofi was second. Both of them were injured earlier. Titus, that was eliminated. Gabriel was eliminated. Zack Ryder got in some offense, goes for the broski boot, but ended up eating a spear, and he was eliminated. But then, Mr. Daniel Bryan entered, and he went crazy, all up in the Shield's Kool-Aid, taking out Rollins and Reigns and Ambrose, multiple times kicking Reigns right in the face, leading to a hot tag to the Usos with a big splash. Reigns pinned for the first time in WWE.
Okay, first of all, bravo to the Shield at this point. For the whole match, and I'll get to that, but yeah, Roman spears like four people, and you know he's done.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Roman's in the ring, the second Daniel Bryan gets in the ring, and I said it in our chat, it's like, bye Roman! Have a nice rest, because, you know, the Samoan needs a break.
The Samoan was gassed. Darren Young was then eliminated by Dean Ambrose. And then a zigzag to Dean Ambrose, and Dean Ambrose was eliminated.
Poor Sethy. Poor Sethy.
The question is this going to happen this Friday night on SmackDown? Could we see a new U.S. champion?
We could. By the way, before we move on, I forgot to mention Dean and Seth's faces when Roman got eliminated.
Yeah.
It was priceless. Mm-hmm. They're both basically like, oh crap, we're screwed.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh crap.
Damn it, Roman, you had one job!
One job! So it's 5-on-2 at this point, all left to Seth Rollins. He was able to eliminate R-Truth, and then it was 4-on-1, and then in S.H.I.E.L.D. fashion, the WWE superstars surrounded the ring, and they all jumped Seth Rollins. This brought out the rest of the S.H.I.E.L.D. Then we had some flying Usos, then a flying goat, and then a running knee to the face, and Daniel Bryan pinned Seth Rollins, and the crowd went crazy.
Yeah, this was really well done. I mean, really well done. Bravo to the Shield, bravo to the 11 guys that were in that match to begin with. I mean, just well done all the way around.
So the WWE locker room once again has the advantage over the McMahon family.
They do. So what implications will this lead to?
Probably find out on SmackDown on WWE.com on his weekly Wednesday interview with that Triple H does, which is, if you're not watching them, you should. They're exclusive to WWE.com, and they're pretty well done.
They are really well done. But yeah, this was a great main event. And you were, actually, it was funny, because when Brian won, you were waiting for that swerve, you were waiting for something else to happen, but it's like, nope. And this entire match, it made me think of the Ron White bit, where he gets thrown out of the bar, mm-hmm. and he's in the parking lot, and he's like, I don't know how many of them it was going to take to whoop my ass, but I knew how many they were going to use. That's kind of, yeah, that's pretty much what the Shield was facing, and it's like, we said it, we were talking over the weekend, and it's like watching SmackDown, you know, are they trying to kill the Shield? Are they trying to, you know, punish the Shield? Because it's like, you know, an 11-on-3 isn't in the Shield's favor at all.
No, it's
and
not.
This was not meant to be in the Shield's favor tonight. So what implications will it have on SmackDown, and what implications will it have on Raw? Because it's like, you don't necessarily want to piss the Shield off.
Exactly. You don't want to piss them off.
But I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Yes, we shall. So Daniel Bryan stood tall as we fade to black. And that's Monday Night Raw. Solid show.
Very solid show. It was a little slow, I will admit, because, you know, and it was pretty expected because the show was building up to the main event. And you were kind of expecting them to do a little bit more groundwork for Battleground, which they did. They did a little bit more, but not a whole lot. So it's going to be interesting to see probably in the next few shows how they set the rest of that pay-per-view up.
Well, we got, we've 3 confirmed, probably a 4th involving the Shield and the Rhodes family. And then you follow in a Divas match, so there's about 5 right there. So they haven't officially announced it, but you kind of see where things are heading.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely for sure. But it's still like.
It's getting close. 2 weeks, 13 days away.
Yeah, it's 13 days away, so they need to start, you know, setting all the matches. But I ask you this because this is now, well, the second time that the Wyatts have made these sis for Triple H. Could Triple H maybe have found somebody better than the Shield?
No.
No?
No.
Okay. Just had to ask it.
I know.
Because I don't know what the hell else they're doing with Bray Wyatt.
We'll probably be discussing this in a few minutes.
Yes. Yes, we will.
But on that note, we're going to wrap this post-show up. You can join us this Thursday night on the Rack at 11 p.m. Eastern. I'm getting things wrong already. You can join us at 11 p.m. Eastern for the Rack. Lindsay, talk about it.
Yes, we have no interview this week. We interviewed Santino last week, so if you want to hear that, tune into the archives at rockradioshow.com or at wildtalkradio.com. But we're going to be talking all about this week's exciting Impact. What's going to happen? It's live, it's large, and it's in charge. There seem to be some more departures, so we'll have to see if that's true or not. We've also got news, we've got notes, we've got discussions. So it's The Rack, 11 p.m. Eastern, right here on wildtalkradio.com.
Check out the Total Divas podcast that we did for episode number 8, now streaming at rackradioshow.com and wildtalkradio.com. We will have the final Total Divas edition of The Rack Extra coming this week as we review the after party show they did. If you have an idea for a Rack Extra, let us know. What do you want us to hear us review from start to finish? We're open to suggestions, aren't we?
Completely, totally.
So it's up to you, people. You. Yes, you. So make the decision and we'll see what we can come up with. Saturday night, midnight-ish, it's CB Radio with myself, Rob Parks, and Subway. And Ace, if he shows up. It's episode 299 this week, which means we're getting close to 300 episodes. And you never know what happens when we do 300 episodes.
That is terrifying that there are 300 episodes of CB Radio, just, you know, putting that out.
Oh, I know. And we're going to experience some of them. Check the Facebook page, facebook.com/wildtalkradionetwork. In the coming days, I'm going to be spreading the goodness that is CB Radio. Sunday night, WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio returns at 10 p.m. Eastern with Tim Stein, Mason Omega as they talk about the week in pro wrestling. And yes, stuff is happening before CB Radio. It's Cards Against Humanity. Tune in. We make fun of King Kids. It's amazing. He likes Christian's mom. Hey, I was going to skip all over it. And you decided to bring it up.
Don't remind him of stuff if he forgets it, because he'll just make it worse.
It's your fault. Anyway. We'll be back next Monday for another edition of Raw Post Live right here at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio. Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Buy our Rack official t-shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com/Rack Radio Show. Support it, please. I don't ask for much. Buy the shirt. Okay? WTRProductions.net. Lindsay.
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWard. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. Check that out. Go to CassidyRiley.net for all your Cassidy Riley needs. And, of course, tune into The Rack and The Rack Extra right here on WildTalkRadio.com and RackRadioShow.com.
Thanks to PWMania.com and MemLanePromo.com for the sponsorship. And buy the shirt for WrestlingTees.com. So for Lindsay Ward, I'm Sorak, and we will see you Thursday night for The Rack, and right back here for another edition of the Raw Post Show. Next Monday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern, across the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Come.